Well, today we have a familiar reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then our gospel reading is from Mark 6, 30 through 34, 53 through 56. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then our final reading today is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in praying? Heavenly Father, as we come before you, let us set aside anything that is distracting. Guide us by your word and your Spirit during this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if I haven't had the chance to meet you, I'm Pastor Cynthia. I'm the campus chaplain at St. Andrew's University, and I'm so glad to be here again with all of you. As I talked about last time, I'm from California, so I'm interested to hear where you're all from. So this is a little audience participation. Raise your hand if any of you were raised on the West Coast. Okay, cool, so just me. All right, cool, it's totally fine. Raise your hand if you were born and raised in Laurinburg. Okay, yeah, so we have some people. This is your town. Okay. Raise your hand if you came here from another state in the South. Okay, a fair amount of you. Great. Okay, what about the Midwest? Anybody representing the Midwest? Oh, no. Okay, so we Midwest and West Coast are like not happening. Okay. What about the Northeast? Okay, all right, so a few more. There we go. Anyone here raised internationally? Okay, right. So we've come from all over to be here today. And each one of us brings our experiences and our backgrounds with us. And you have come here to be part of something that is larger than just one individual person. You have come here together to join a community, which is the body of Christ. Anytime that you get a group of people mixing together from different backgrounds and different experiences, there is bound to be some friction. And unity can actually be very hard. And if you think that unity is easy, you probably haven't tried it. Because it's hard to work alongside people, to learn alongside people, or to live next door to people that we perceive to be different from us. It's hard to see the humanity in someone that we think is the complete opposite of us. And it's hard to find common ground when we feel that our world has been threatened. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean that we give up. And just because it takes work doesn't mean that we turn our backs on others. As humans, all of us crave comfort. We stay in our comfort zones. We talk to people we feel comfortable with. We go the same way to work because we're comfortable with it. We often go looking for things that are familiar and comfortable, and we feel unsteady until we find something that is familiar. Well, a year and a half ago, everything that was familiar to us was ripped away. Our routines were disrupted, changed, completely overhauled, and what was revealed when our world was flipped upside down is that unity is actually very difficult. In today's scripture, we see the incredible reconciling power of Jesus Christ. God has brought together two groups that historically hated one another, Jews and Gentiles. And through the blood of Christ, the division separating Jews and Gentiles has been overcome. The Gentiles were those outside the nation of Israel. The hostilities between these two groups went back centuries. This saving grace that Christ offers to everyone is shocking. And it would have been shocking for the disciples to preach this message of reconciliation. What was even more shocking for the readers of this first century letter that Paul wrote was the idea that these two opposing groups could be united together as one. This wasn't one group trading in their identity to become like the other. It wasn't Jews becoming Gentiles or Gentiles becoming Jews. This is something entirely different. God is doing a new thing. And this new creation, where both groups, Jews and Gentiles, are not what they previously were. They have been made new. And because they have been made new, there's no room for things like racism, sexism, class divisions, or bigotry. You cannot be made new and take all of your old things with you. Lucky for us, the power to overcome the divisions and hostility that exist in our hearts and our minds comes from God. Earlier in this letter, Paul prays that the people hearing these words would understand that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to them. The power that raised Christ from the dead is available to believers. And within that power is an invitation. It's an invitation to become something new, to be part of a new community. In Christ, you and I are invited to join this new community. And this isn't about denominations or race or class or any other social construct we devise to separate and label people. This is about being unified together in Christ. This new thing that God started way back when is the church. This isn't a building. It's not a particular congregation. The church is a living, breathing organism made up of believers joining together from all over the world to proclaim Christ's death and resurrection. and you are part of it. The end of our passage depicts believers as bricks which have been built up. In Christ, we are being built into the dwelling place of God. Each one of us is a brick. You can choose to see that as a good thing. Don't take it as an insult. You are a brick. Now, what can you do with one brick? I mean, you could prop open a door, right? You could maybe use it as a paperweight. It's kind of an exaggerated paperweight, but sure, you could use a brick as a paperweight. What can you do with one brick? Well, now think about what you can do with a bunch of bricks. I look around this building and I see a ton of bricks. I'm from California and we don't build with brick because brick flattens in earthquakes. So it's beautiful to see bricks because we don't build with bricks. But all of these bricks have been built together to become something useful. One believer brought together with other believers becomes even more useful. We need each other. We can't build unity alone. We also can't do life and faith alone. Now, verse 22 in our passage today reminds us that we are joined together, unified for a purpose. We are being joined together to become the dwelling place for God. And this dwelling place isn't empty. It's a living, thriving space where the Spirit of God dwells. And as such, we are called to live by the Spirit, bearing good fruit into the world. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All nine attributes are necessary, especially since Paul describes this new community, this new creation, as a family. He says, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." Here we have the intimate image of a family. You have been chosen, adopted as God's holy family, and God is calling you to be a new creation, to be part of a new international family. And the dividing wall between us has been knocked down. So let's stop building it back up again. You are bricks built together to house God, not bricks built as walls and fortresses to keep people out. Now, I don't know about you, but my family has seen the best and the worst parts of me. And when I'm being stupid, they tell me to cut it out. When I have a good idea, they tell me to run with it. Think about your families. When someone in your family is hurting, does it also hurt you? When someone in your family has been mistreated, do you want to go out and burn the whole world down? I mean, I certainly do. There's a strong bond that we establish with the members of our families. Our identities are fostered and formed in our families, and for good or bad, we are shaped by our families. It's interesting that the beginning of humanity started in a family, and God's plan for salvation arrived in the world as part of a family. Families are important. We protect, we look after, and we support the members of our family. And if you've lost a member of your family, then you know that no one in your family is disposable. Likewise, each and every member is vital and important to the goal and mission of the church. Each and every member of the Trinity community is vital and important. We have to recognize that families are far from perfect, which is probably why it's a perfect image for the church, because we fight with our family members, We disagree with our family members. We get irritated with our family members. But hopefully, we also laugh and learn what it means to be loved, truly loved for who God has created us to be. Being part of a family means that we belong. You belong here. All of us go through periods where we feel disconnected from our community, maybe disconnected from ourselves. Paul says, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers. You are no longer wanderers, nomads searching for a place to belong. Instead, you are members of God's household. You have come home." So what does it take to be united together? It sounds beautiful, right? All of us built together, this international community. What does it actually take to be united together? Well, I mean, it's going to take an act of God. So, check, we can cross that off the list. Christ rose from the dead and reconstructed the barriers and the broken relationship between humans and God. Next, it's going to take a whole lot of humility. Check out what Paul says later to the Ephesians. He says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So let's start at the end of that. Make every effort. Make it your goal to keep the unity. If you've ever been on a sports team, then you know it's important to have a common goal. Having a common goal provides purpose and direction. This is not only true in sports, it's also true in businesses, art performances, governments. If we want to accomplish anything, we have to have a common goal. What is our goal here? Unity. Not just because it sounds nice, but because unity is God's goal. And when unity becomes our goal, we give one another room and space to grow. And when unity is our goal, we exercise grace towards one another. Grace. What a loaded word. When you think about grace, grace is a theological reality that means God chose not to give us what we deserve. And for that, I am thankful. But when grace is exercised in community, it means that we choose to see the good in others. We choose to see others as creations of God. And when unity is our goal, it means we don't walk away from our family members or abandon one another when relationships become difficult. Paul highlights three characteristics: humility, gentleness, and patience. Qualities that our society doesn't always consider valuable. Humility demands that we see and acknowledge the needs and presence of others. Our humility springs from a realization that we are all dependent on God's grace. It means we have a realistic view of who we are and our place in the world. And then there's gentleness. I want you to think of a newborn. You care for a newborn with gentleness, not because you are weak or a wimp, but because you are strong. In our strength, we all have the capacity to crush others in one way or another. Gentleness is the recognition that you are strong, but you choose to use that strength to care for others instead of crush them. And then there's patience. I love patience. I mean, I rarely have it, so I love it when other people are patient, right? That's how it works. We live in a way that requires everyone else around us to be patient with us, but we don't have to be patient with others. I mean, that sounds totally healthy and community-oriented. At my old church, we did an activity with the fruit of the Spirit, and each color, each fruit was assigned a color. And they came forward and they grabbed a ribbon that represented the color of the characteristic from the fruit of the Spirit they wanted to work on. You know which one was pulled the most? 300 people. Patience, by far. Everybody wants patience. And we want people to be patient with us. Patience requires that we put up with the exasperating behaviors of others rather than flying into a rage at the smallest offense. Patience is one of those things that we love when everyone else has it. So going forward, may we be the church that shows humility, gentleness, and patience to those around us. May we stand united together as a community through the trials and troubles that are sure to come our way. And may we be united in the saving grace of Christ that reconciles each of us to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have called each and every one of us to be a new community, to be a new gathering place for the Spirit to dwell. Lord, lead us and teach us continually to be humble, gentle, and patient. Let us work for reconciliation and unity as our goal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.